back on Canuck Central. This hour is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main, side, and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. It's also the best place to watch the game during the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the games have been pretty good, at least on the western side. The Edmonton-Dallas series has been a lot of fun to watch. Maybe not so much the Panthers and Hurricanes.
No, at least the Hurricanes made it a game. Made it a series yet, but at least won a game.
I feel like the Panthers have allowed them the opportunity to get a gentleman sweep out of this.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll see what happens in Game 5. I mean, it is going back to Carolina.
That didn't matter in the first two games.
No, the thing Frank did mention, though, was the injuries on Florida.
Mm.
Like, they are getting banged up.
Well, when you play the way that they play, it's almost inevitable that you're gonna get a little bit hurt along the way, and that's definitely happened for the Florida Panthers. We'll have some of these games coming up through the course of the week. You'll hear the Edmonton-Dallas game after Canucks Central here tonight. Signs off at 6 o'clock. But let's get to the open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. The latest is the Abbotsford Canucks are headed to the conference finals in the Calder Cup playoffs. We'll discuss this a little bit more, but also the big club continuing to scour the trade market, and we are starting to learn a little bit more about the names that are at least more known to be on the trade market this offseason. And it's still not a list that has a ton that stands out as potential targets for the Vancouver Canucks. From Frank Saravalli, who we had off the top of the show today, J.J. Paterka is number one on his trade board. Chris Kreider is number two. Marco Rossi at number three. And you go down the list, there's a lot of wingers, some elder defensemen. Canucks really aren't looking for defensemen right now, given that that is the strength mm-hmm. of their roster at this moment in time. And you look a little bit further down, there's a name like Pavel Zacha that could fit into the Canucks potentially as well. But that's, of the 20 names, that's only three. Sat.
Yeah, there aren't many centers that fit the mold, right, for what Vancouver is looking for. And I always think it is instructive to look at what the Canucks have targeted in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is very clear about the way they went after Josh Norris, that they want somebody that can take faceoffs mm-hmm. and win faceoffs. Whether you think Norris is good or not defensively, he took a lot of faceoffs and a lot of big leverage ones, right?
Yep.
They want a center they can put in those situations, can do some of the stuff that JT did.
Yes.
When you look at that list of trade targets, there's only a couple that there's only like one that fits that mold.
Yeah.
And that's Zacha. Now, mm-hmm. he's not good enough offensively, and to me, it's not an enticing player. But if you're looking at what's available that the Canucks are looking for, he at the very least hits a lot of the markers that they've been looking at in the past. And we know that at the very least, they've checked in on him in the past when he was available with New Jersey.
Yeah. And before he got traded to the Boston Bruins, I believe it was Elliot reporting on headlines on a hockey night in Canada that Zacha was a guy that the Canucks had shown some interest in, and people got all up in arms yeah. about it then. And he went to Boston and kind of figured it out a little bit, as he's had, you know, pretty much 50 points in each of the three seasons he's played with Boston, at 57, 59, and then this past year had 47. So he fell just short and was under 20 goals for the first time in his career as a Bruin. So it's not incredible numbers. It doesn't replace JT Miller's offense in this lineup. But one thing that might do, and given it's a name that's been connected to the Canucks in the past and fits some of the things that they value in players traits-wise, as I've said, if you look at Filip Hedl as being more of, you know, you kind of mold the second and third line centers yeah. into middle six types. You don't have one standout number two center, but you have guys that you can use situationally, and Zacha would be the more defensively minded mm-hmm. center, and you would have Filip Hedl taking a little bit more of the softer minutes potentially, and that's how Adam Foote and his coaching staff could potentially utilize a situation like that.
But it's not exciting, is it?
No.
I mean, two things.
But could it work? Like, does it matter if it's exciting, if
no,
it works?
But how much, I mean, what does it do to your ceiling? Like, going after, and listen, like, we're not saying the Canucks are after this player. He may not even be available, right? Like, we're just talking about a player.
He's a name
on
the
list,
on
right?
trade target list, and the Canucks have had interest in him in the past.
Number one, is he available?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have, they signed Lindholm to a big contract. He can play wing as well, but they can do, they do a lot of similar things. But the last 2 years for the Bruins, who need centers, he's been playing 18 and 19 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's been utilized a big way. And not this year, but the year prior, he got some Selke consideration.
Yeah.
So, and he also fits the mold of what a Boston Bruin type of center is. A defensive guy with size who does a lot of good things, right?
Morgan Geeky had a big year for them too, and he's got to get paid. So that might be the reason Pavel Zacha shakes loose.
Okay, so what do they want to return? Like Frank mentioned, probably a first round pick.
In a draft where... And I know our listeners are already saying, like, Zacha, no way that Zacha is worth a 15th overall pick.
Fonz in Vancouver doesn't want it. Neither does Raymond and others texting in. Very upset about it.
Zacha does not seem like a player you would want to spend a first-round pick on. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But if you're looking at it of what the player might cost in a pretty barren trade market, I can see how that might be the cost of doing business with the Boston Bruins. And if the alternative is like, okay, Zacha might cost the 15th overall pick, but just the 15th overall pick versus another name with a little bit more promise, a little bit more upside, and it's going to cost you the 15th overall pick and one of your top prospects, well, then I can see how potentially I can be sold on Zacha in that sort of a scenario because, yeah, like, I don't really want the Canucks to be trading one of Elias Pettersson or Tom Bolander.
Yeah, to me, what I want to see is them raise the ceiling of the team, right? And that's why I want to see them get a bona fide higher-end center. But I just struggle
like
to
Marco
see...
Like Marco Rossi.
Yeah.
Marco Rossi might not even cost you the 15th overall pick, to be honest.
You think? You think that's how cheap he's going to be?
Well...
I know he's diminutive, and I talked about how I wonder if his value is super high, but you can't get a first for him. Young center with such a poor market.
With 60 points.
Right. And I see people texting him, Rosie saying, I'd rather have Horvat. And one text says, forget Zacha, go for Lindholm. I'm not against that necessarily in terms of like going after somebody else. Horvat, to the point Frank made, he's not going to be cheap.
No. You're going to have to give up pretty much similar to what they gave you for Bo Horvat.
Yeah.
So
and hey, maybe that's something you can all of everything we're talking about here, Reach, like, aren't they considering doing something like that? Like,
yeah,
for the right player, they trade a first round pick and a prospect.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll go back to the Horvat well
or the Lindholm well.
Yeah, I'm not sure they will necessarily. Right.
Yeah.
But that's what the Canucks have to decide on here. Do they pay like I mentioned to Frank, Zacha to me is kind of like the center version of Marcus Pettersson. You know, it's not super like when the trade was when it happened, like it's good. He helped your team, but nobody was like doing cartwheels, right? Like, but he does a lot of good things. He helps your team. He does a lot of dirty work. Zacha's kind of similar, but I'm not sure he helps this team's ceiling ultimately. Like, he helps you get by. Like, what he does to me is he gives you what Suter gave you with more size.
Yeah.
But less goal scoring, potentially.
Yep.
How are you a better team than last year? Like you might be slightly better defensively, but I don't know if you're significantly better to the point like where you're probably making the playoffs. Everybody's healthy. I get it. Like, he helps you out. But are we sitting here and talking about the Canucks now that they've added Zacha and say a winger that they're knocking on the door again?
Well, you'd have to be adding more than Zacha.
So here's the question. Are you willing to give up a first round pick for something that makes you slightly better? Or if that's what you're faced with, do you just pause?
I think... pausing is probably the safest course of action that this team could take, given their circumstances. Because the most likely place that you're going to get the players that you need, that you're alluding to, Sat, are in the draft and drafting at the higher end of the draft, which is where they got Ben Hughes, where they got Elias Pettersson.
And they traded, you know, a lot of first round picks.
A lot of first round picks in the last number of years. And that's why it's a pretty barren prospect pool as far as high end talent goes. Yes, you've got Lekkerimäki. Yes, you've got Philander. And you've done well with Elias Pettersson and some others. But you're missing key parts of the roster in the top six. Mm. You don't have any problems in your bottom six or anything like that. The players you're looking for, they don't become available. So I'm not sure how else you do this, because I look at it and I say, well, maybe your best course of action is to get these types of players that you know solidify one end of the ice, and you build a strong enough team on the edges, and you just hope Quinn Hughes does his thing and Elias Pettersson returns to form, and that's where the sexiness of the roster comes from.
Yeah, but I still question whether that improves your ceiling enough. You know, like to me, it's like, are you going to be able to turn this into a contender? And the only way you do that is by finding high-end talent. To your point, the most likely way of that happening is draft picks and your prospects.
Yeah.
And the Canucks, and we'll get to it, have a lot of guys knocking on the door. Mm-hmm. How many can really push that envelope, right? Push up to be a higher-end contributor for this team. Time will tell, but I do know trading another first-round pick takes another possibility away from you from a few years down the road. So, like, would you rather do that or get a guy like Kotkaniemi for free and just take on the contract, for instance?
Yeah.
Like, to me, and I'm not saying that's available to you again, but if we're looking at guys like Zacha and looking at guys that patch things over and make you your baseline a little bit stronger, but doesn't raise your ceiling, I'd rather see you take flyers and take some risks. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And the Marcus Pettersson one was a perfectly defensible addition because of what he brings to your team, right?
Yeah.
And if Quinn stays here long-term, you need a left-handed defenseman who can be a shutdown guy, play on the PK, and fill in doing a lot of dirty work. And he's that guy. He fits that type of mold. But it's not a guy that significantly improved your ceiling. If you're making another trade involving a first-round pick that doesn't significantly improve your ceiling, then, you know, like we mentioned, the youths call it being mid. And do you want to be stuck being mid? You know, where your ceiling is being a 100-point team, maybe, right? Like,
your ceiling is based on Quinn Hughes and Thatcher Demko and Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, but
it's still the same ceiling makeup that it was before, just without JT Miller.
Yeah, but let's name all the players the Florida Panthers have.
That's fair.
You know, like, that's where you want to get to. And I get reaching.
Edmonton's built theirs on the back of Evan Bouchard, Leon Draisaitl, and Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, three pretty good players. Yes. I mean, especially those first, like, McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, Bouchard we can debate about. But the rest of their team's also pretty good. But ultimately, we need Pettersson and Demko to be healthy and good. I get all that reach. But there's still at least one or two impact players away from really pushing, right? And maybe even more. But I'm talking about, like, guys that are really high-end contributors. The Canucks lost one at JT. You have to replace a JT-caliber player and then add another one potentially.
Yeah. Elliot Ladner says, Morgan Frost. What about Morgan Frost? Is he a buy low candidate? I mean, he's already been bought low by the Calgary Flames. So could he be bought low again? I'm not sure. But, you know, that's... I'd almost be more open to the Canucks exploring those types of opportunities versus paying the high price for a Pavel Zacha type. Like, you know, we've seen Vegas, we've seen other teams have success taking, you know, one team's trash is another team's treasure. And, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights were a pretty good example of how you can find some pretty good diamonds in the rough that way. But in the end, what did Vegas need to get over the top? They still needed to go out and get Mark Stone. They still needed to go out and get Alex Pietrangelo. They still needed to go out and get Jack Eichel before they ultimately built their Stanley Cup roster.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can do a lot with those things, but you're still probably missing the big thing at the top of your roster.
Yeah, and it's just like, how many assets are you spending to fix plug holes when you still have to find the big needle movers? And the more you're spending that doesn't include getting those big needle movers, makes it harder for you to acquire those big needle movers. Yes. And this goes back to the whole conversation of what an incredibly difficult offseason this is for the Vancouver Canucks, right? Like, and listen, I get it. We're just a bunch of radio heads talking here, and things may seem more difficult for us. The professionals know a lot better than we do. Like, I get all that, right? But even they've admitted that they understand it's a very difficult one. Like, you know, and maybe it's overstating things, but I think we're kind of waiting to see if these guys can pull a rabbit out of a hat. And, you know, do more than just kind of like the things we've been mentioning here.
Rat says, sounds like they should be sellers. Trade Hughes, Demko, gather picks.
We know that's not happening.
They are not trading Hughes.
Well, not now.
Not now, at least.
Well, somebody's asking us, is Zacha even better than Hedl? Well, different players. Like, he's better than Hedl defensively. He's better than Hedl winning faceoffs. Good penalty killer. It comes down to...
I mean, he's been a consistent 50-point guy, too. That's not insignificant.
I like a lot of what he does. Like, he's a really good defensive centerman.
And
like,
for his really cap is. Charge, that's worth of... Like, he's worth his cap charge.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, what the Canucks could become is like this... Like, if Pettersson finds this game and that's who you go after... And you get a couple wingers, like, you become a really good defensive team. I don't know what your offensive ceiling is, but you can be one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have some center depth, and you're going to have guys that are good defensively and can do a lot of things in their own end, right? Like, I think that has value. But again, like, you still have to score goals. you still have to create offense.
At the end of the day, you still have to outscore the team in order to win.
Yeah, yes. And we know that unless Pettersson becomes a play driver, like, you still need somebody else to drive play. I'm not sure Zach is a play driver in that sense. But to answer the question, like, he does a lot of the things that Hedl doesn't do well. If you put those two together, you could have a heck of a player.
And your lack of offensive stars gets exposed even more in the playoffs, as we saw with the Canucks last year when Pettersson's game dried up, as you're seeing now with Carolina, right? You need those star players. Even Dallas, how many 20-goal scorers did they have this year? And they're really struggling to score all playoff long unless Mikko Rantanen is just like absolutely putting the team on his back and carrying them to victories on a lot of nights. So I get all of the concerns that people have because it's not a easy road that the Canucks are on. But there is a lot of promise with their AHL club and the Abbotsford Canucks heading on to the Calder Cup Conference Finals after defeating the Colorado Eagles in Loveland, Colorado, disposing of the Eagles for a second straight year in the Calder Cup playoffs. And it was another fantastic performance from Artur Shilovs, a third consecutive series clinching shutout for Shilovs. Linus Karlsson had another two goals. Deej had a couple of goals. McWard scored. Mueller and Baines had a couple of points. You have Sammy Blais, who's got more penalty minutes than ice time so far in the playoffs for the Abbotsford Canucks. But ultimately, people want to know, like, what does this mean for the big picture of the club? And will the development of players in Abbotsford be ultimately what helps solve these problems that the Canucks have?
That's their best hope.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at past history, you don't feel very good about it because the Canucks have done a very poor job as an organization since inception, turning prospects into players and developing those players, let alone, you know, having enough draft picks. So it would be very much bucking a historic trend. But like Shane Malloy and others have outlined, the Canucks aren't just bad. Like, they're at the very end of things.
They're near the bottom, if not at the bottom.
At some point, it has to bounce back, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if you've been incompetent at something, like, eventually, like, things go your way to some degree. Like, maybe it takes 20, 30 years to get there. And guess what? It's kind of been almost 20 years since the last time. You know, we talked about this a bit last week, but you have to go back to the, you know, after the West Coast Express era.
The mid-2000s.
Until the Sedin era, where you saw Hansen, Raymond, Edler, Bieksa, and these guys kind of come through the ranks. A big flood of them, really, right? And that's really what gave that core lifeblood. You know, you drafted Schneider that you ended up trading eventually, but you had Schneider, you had the Sedins, right? You had Edler, you had Bieksa, you had a bunch of guys you could build with moving forward. And the Canucks have been lacking that outside of, you know, having a few guys like Hughes, who drafted high, Pettersson, and so on, right? Can this group buck that trend? And that is, they're honestly, like, the best, most optimistic viewpoint you can have is that you get that internal push out of nowhere, and that's what elevates the Canucks and does what Dallas had, right? Where they got a bunch of these guys that all of a sudden came through. I'm not sure that's going to happen to that degree, but that's kind of your best hope right now, isn't it?
It is. Not to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. We've seen a lot of these players already. And my only thing is, you know, I see guys with NHL traits. I see Karlsson doing his thing and translating what we saw at the end of the year to Calder Cup playoff success here. Shilovs we've seen. Mancini we've seen. Right, we've seen a lot of these guys. We've seen Baines struggled to score at the NHL level. Aturatu, I know he hasn't been playing all that much because of injury, but we've seen these players, and what the Canucks roster needs isn't more bottom six types, which these guys are starting to profile as. They need projectable top six players.
They do. But if Vilanders becomes a legit top four guy, if DPD can be a legit top four guy, Yeah. Now all of a sudden you have, because a lot of the Canucks blue line is based on potential. We know how good Hughes is. We know Hironik and Pettersson. Those three guys we don't worry about. Myers on a good year, he can be okay, right?
Yeah, he was great this year. He's fine.
But now it comes down to DPing Verlander. Now if they're just two young guys struggling, then the ceiling of your blue line drops down precipitous in a huge way. But if you actually get those guys to play at a high level this year, all of a sudden your blue line may look like one of the best in the league. Like that's how much that can change. To me, the two guys that on the forward group they can't miss on are Ratu and Lekkomäki.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's going to be next year necessarily, but that's what it's going to have to be. Can Ratu be a legitimate center? Like a legitimate second, third line? Can he be your Zacha, for instance? That'd be huge.
That would help.
If Lekkomäki can score 25-30, it's like, okay, now you have a couple of guys, right? But that has to happen.
Ratu did score a little bit, given relatively low amount of ice time at the NHL level. We'll see if that continues. Into the playoff central roundup, believe Brandon Astle is okay, our Abbotsford Canucks play-by-play guy.
He was fired up.
He went viral. He was attacked with a steel chair by somebody in Loveland, Colorado.
What was going on? Did they think they were going to a WWE event or something?
It seemed that way. Somewhere in the background, like, by God, not the steel chair, no! But Brandon's okay. He handled it like a true pro. All right. Playoff Central Roundup. Friedman yesterday, Elliot Friedman, suggesting that unrestricted free agents may have pause coming to Vancouver given Quinn Hughes' uncertain future. This is one of those things like, I don't know if there's really any free agents that you want coming to Vancouver all that badly anyways.
It's just like, ha, joke's on you. We don't want you anyways.
if Sam Bennett and Mitch Marner are not long for Vancouver, I mean, I definitely don't want to pay Sam Bennett $10 million a year, and I'm not really interested in paying Mitch Marner $13 or $14 million a year.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
We've talked about how, given how the season has gone and the uncertainty around Quinn, that there are a lot of questions, and Vancouver's not going to be, a real destination. And Rutherford himself admitted on one of the podcasts he was on that, Vancouver's not.
Not high on the list.
On the list. And then he spoke more glowingly when you asked him the question. We had him on the show. But I think they understand that. And again, like, maybe you're fortunate because, like, who are you going after anyways? But that's a question. And I think this way, Yannick, he made a great point. If you're going after a winger, let's say on a short-term deal even, like, who am I playing with? How good do you feel about playing with Pettersson, for instance?
Yeah.
It's not like he's coming off a great year, right?
Do I feel good about playing with Filipito? Is he going to be in the lineup? Now, those are questions you would ask as a potential free agent option here in Vancouver.
But ultimately, you know what? If you overpay, you can get signed anybody.
That tends to be the key in free agency. The Hurricanes stay alive with a Game 4 win in Florida. Finally end their conference final losing streak. But the Gentlemen sweep still on as they head back to Carolina. Edmonton and Dallas getting ready for Game 4. Victor Arvidsson is in for Connor Brown, who is out due to injury after that massive hit from Alex Petrovic in the last game. And news today that Russian teams will be banned from the 2026 Olympics due to the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. So no Russia in the Olympics next year, meaning there will not be a Russian team represented in the ice hockey events at the Olympics, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, given what's going on around the world still.
Yeah.
I mean, until that conflict has some sort of resolution, I don't think this is changing.
Yeah, and it's probably the best way to go about it. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Coming up, Don Taylor is going to join us, joins us weekly here on Canuck Central. Donnie, the legend, next on Canuck Central.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.